Gomer Joba Market Street. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from our studios in the San Francisco Public Library. Today is Thursday, the 16th of January, 2014. On this date in 27 BC, Gaius Julius Caesar Octavianus is granted the title of Augustus by the Roman Senate, marking the beginning of the Roman Empire. In 1412, the Medici family is appointed official banker of the papacy. 1492, a busy year. The first grammar of the Spanish language is presented to Queen Isabella I. 1547, Ivan IV of Russia, better known as Ivan the Terrible, becomes Tsar of Russia. 1605, the first edition of El Ingenioso Hidalgo Don Quixote de la Mancha, Book One of Don Quixote by Miguel de Cervantes, is published in Madrid. 1707, the Scottish Parliament ratifies the Act of Union, paving the way for the creation of Great Britain. 1883, the Pendleton Civil Service Reform Act, establishing the United States Civil Service, is passed. For those interested in civil service reform in Georgia, the story of why and how that act was passed is an instructive one. 1919, the prohibition of alcohol takes effect in the United States, and that sure worked well. 1945, Hitler descends into his bunker where he stays for 105 days until he and Eva commit suicide. 1969, Czech student Jan Palach commits suicide by self-immolation in Prague in protest against the Soviets' crushing of the Prague Spring the year before. 1979, faced with an army mutiny and violent demonstrations against his rule, Mohammad Reza Shah Pahlavi flees Iran. 14 days later, Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini returns after 15 years of exile and takes control. 1990, Soviets send 11,000 troops into Azerbaijan to unsuccessfully try to deal with the Karabakh War. 1991, at midnight in Iraq, the United Nations deadline for the Iraqi withdrawal from Kuwait, it expires, and the Pentagon starts operations to forcibly eject Iraq from its five-month occupation. 2006, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf is sworn in as Liberia's new president, becoming Africa's first female elected head of state. Birthdays today are Frank Zamboni, guess what he invented, Ethel Merman, fantastic writers William Kennedy of Albany, if you haven't read anything by him, do it, Susan Sontag, and incredible singers Aaliyah, who died much, much too young, and Sade. Also born today was actor Otar Mervin Tuhutsesi, that's the only Georgian last name that I still have trouble with after all these years. The head of corporate banking at TBC Bank is also a Mervin Tuhutsesi. One year ago today, Aslan Utsoyan, Tbilisi mobster and Tariel Oniani's nemesis, was hit in Moscow by a sniper's bullet and killed. Georgia refused to allow his body off the plane for him to be buried in Tbilisi where his family wanted him. The story of turf wars, largely regarding the huge sums collected from racketeering around the Sochi Olympics construction, is a very interesting one. Today it is me, Mark Mullen. Thanks again for those posting on our forum, although nobody did this week, unusually, not sure why. Although two of you did communicate privately with me and complained about me yawning last week, you know, so I was tired, all right? Just cut me a little bit of slack. I mean, here I am cranking out all this content for you. Just work with me a little bit. If you'd like to comment on the blog or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. Deputy Economy Minister Dima Kumsiashvili announced that an entrepreneurship development agency will be set up with the aim of promoting startup businesses. Kumsiashvili said that the agency will create a foundation for commercial banks to give credits to newly established businesses. That is fantastic news. We will follow that closely. The prison ministry finished its inspection of prison number 9 following former Prime Minister Vano Matavashvili's accusation that he was taken from his cell. The ministry said that they could not find any evidence to sustain his claim. As a reminder, Matavashvili accused the ex-chief prosecutor, Otar Partsholadze, of blackmailing him after he was taken out of his cell and brought to an unknown location with his head covered. The ministry claims that the video surveillance system automatically deletes recordings after 24 hours to ensure space for new videos. During the investigation, they also questioned employees at the prison who deny that Matavashvili left the prison's territory. Yeah. Additional criminal charges were filed against the former defense minister and ex-head of the prison system, Bacho Akhalaya. New charges of torture and exceeding official powers involve allegations that Akhalaya mercilessly beat six prisoners in January 2006 when he served as prison minister. He has been in pretrial detention since November 2012. As a reminder, since his arrest, Akhalaya has been in three separate trials. In two of them, he was acquitted. The charges in those cases were exceeding official power, illegal confinement, and torture in four separate cases. But in late October 2013, he was found guilty of inhuman treatment of inmates and was sentenced to 3 years and 9 months in jail. However, Misha pardoned him. Despite the presidential pardon, Akhalaya still remains in detention and he still faces another charge. You know, Akhalaya is not my favorite guy in the world. I think he was a jerk. However, you've got to admit, it does seem a little bit like somebody's decided that he needs to stay in jail for a certain period of time, and they're just waiting around, coming up with charge after charge after charge after charge to try and get him in jail for that period of time. I mean, I don't know at what point they just sort of give up, you know? I mean, how many is it? Can they bring up charges 5 times, 10 times, 30 times, you know? According to WikiLeaks, Hillary Clinton sent a cable to the U.S. Embassy in Georgia about the illegal trade of weapons. According to her cable, the Ministry of Defense of Georgia and the Interior Ministry may have been involved in illegal arms trading between 2005 and 2012. The document suggested they purchased at least 7,000 assault rifles and 2,000 grenade launchers through the company Bell Trading, an offshore company based in the Seychelles. The cable posted in question is from 2009, and it questions why Bell Trading operated on behalf of the Georgian government. Reportedly, former Defense Minister Kezadashvili is being questioned by French authorities about this purchase. He's currently detained in France. For those who don't know, there was a very quiet ban on Georgia buying weapons after the 2008 war. It was even a problem getting training ammunition for troops going to Afghanistan. Following up on last week's story about protest rallies in front of the Patriarch, Tbilisi City Court imposed a whopping 100-lari fine on Tourniquet and Evgeny Kavtaradze and Sandro Zautashvili, each for hooliganism. The court says that the three yelled and hit participants of a protest against the Patriarch's Christmas epistle. On the 9th of January, President Georgi Margvelashvili commented, here is the direct quote. I'm concerned due to the incident near the Patriarchate. In a society of dignified free people, violence is unacceptable under any pretense. It is the unwavering will of our government. The Catholicos Patriarch of Georgia also has many times highlighted this. Georgia is historically a country of loyalty, respecting differences. This made us persevere the diversity that we are so proud of. The ethnic, religious, and cultural diversity of our country is and must always be an inexhausted resource for dialogue and cooperation and not for confrontation. Today, Georgia media is free. It must open the doors to discussions on the problematic issues and become what its destination is, a space of intermittable discussion on the important matters for the public. We call on all parties to respect the constitutional rights of opponents to express their viewpoints. No matter how unacceptable these opinions are to somebody, the right to express is inviolable. End quote. Great that he said that. But the reality is that when the church criticizes people and some meatheads start beating people up, they really just get a slap on the wrist. It's great that Margvelashvili said this, but until there are some real punishments behind it, in my book, the commitment is waiting to be proved. According to the IMF, political uncertainty, reduced government spending, and a slowdown in growth in the leading economies of the region caused Georgia's economy to slow in 2013 to 2.5%. The World Bank expects Georgia to have 6.345% economic growth in 2014 moving forward. Foreign ministries of Georgia and Russia made a joint decision to keep the Larsi-Kazbegi border crossing open 24 hours a day, beginning on the 15th of January for the Winter Olympics. According to Interfax, about 3 million people crossed into Russia through Larsi in 2013. UNM is planning a series of anti-Putin demonstrations in several cities and towns. The party's spokesperson, Andrew Barnovy, said that many European leaders are boycotting the Olympics, but the Georgian government remains silent. Barnovy expects that Putin will begin a new wave of pressure on Georgia after the Olympic Games. Hungary became the 12th country to recognize Georgia's neutral travel documents for residents of Abkhazia and South Ossetia. Only a few dozen have been issued since it was introduced in 2011. Other countries that so far have agreed to accept these neutral travel documents are Bulgaria, Estonia, Israel, Japan, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Slovakia, Romania, Czech Republic, and the U.S. Following up on last week's story about Partskaladze's criminal history in Germany, Tabula.ge published his comments on his imprisonment. He said that he was not arrested for robbery in 2000 when he was 24 years old. He said that there was a misunderstanding with a particular German law. He says, quote, "A policeman insulted me and I slapped him. You know the character of a Caucasian man. He was an inspector of the criminal police and the police didn't forgive me," end quote. Okay, first of all, let's talk about slapping. Is that so macho? I mean, his defense is that, you know I'm such a Vashkatsi Georgian dude, I just had to retaliate as this German, since we all know how German cops going around insulting everybody on the streets all the time, every chance they get. It was my patriotic duty, so I slapped him. Slapped? I don't know, I don't really get that. Ministry of Internal Affairs published a 2013 set of crime statistics. According to their data, crime fell by 25% in 2013. The rate of crime being solved increased by 41 to 60% of crime solved. There were 29,000 crimes reported in 2013 throughout the country, out of which 17,000 were solved. From Tabulba.com's inside sources, this seems like complete BS. On the other hand, because under the previous regime, there were very few trials and almost everybody was bullied into a confession that was called a plea bargain, but wasn't, the statistics are really meaningless. There will now be stricter punishments for those who falsely report information to the emergency call center 112. If a minor under 14 falsely reports a terrorist threat, their parents or guardians will be fined 1,500 lari, and if they call more than once within a year, the fine will be increased to 2,500 lari. However, if a minor older than 14 reports a false terrorist threat, they will be punished with 1 to 2 years of community service or between 2 to 5 years in jail. If the same violation is repeated, the person will be punished with 5 to 7 years in jail. As a reminder, in September 2013, there were many false reports about bombs in the parliament, at schools and television stations. Due to the laws enforced at the time, the authorities could not react to the wave of prank calls because most of the callers were minors. The Ministry of Regional Development will build 15 new residential buildings for IDPs with 50 million lari. 8 buildings with 356 flats will be constructed in Zugdidi and 7 buildings with 280 apartments in Poti. According to the ministry, the government will allocate $135 million for regional infrastructure projects this year. The Tbilisi Sakrobulo and one of the largest trade and industrial cities in Georgia, Guangzhou, formerly known as Canton, signed a memorandum of cooperation. The chairman of the Tbilisi Sakrobulo, Irakli Shikhiashvili, formerly UNM and now member of the Freedom Faction, and the mayor of Guangzhou, Chen Jiahuang, signed the document. According to the party's statement, this memorandum will be a cornerstone for the establishment of effective cooperation related to tourism and infrastructure projects. Who knows if this will mean anything, but Guangzhou is a very, very powerful city and area in the world, and that would be great. After a Nigerian was beaten up and robbed on Pekini Street in Tbilisi, Richard Arise, who Rustaviori called the king of Igbo Ukwu, a town in southeastern Nigeria, appealed to the Georgian government for better protection of his fellow countrymen. The king added that lately attacks on Nigerians have become more frequent in Georgia. The Interior Ministry stated that an investigation has been launched into the case, but rejected the notion that attacks on Nigerians have become more frequent. On the 13th of January, the Georgian media reported that McDonald's plans to enter the Abkhaz market. The source was a message on the official website of the company aboutmcdonalds.com, which said that the restaurant chain desires to start working in Abkhazia and announced a competition to find a partner company. The head of McDonald's in Georgia, Temo Chikonia, said that he did not give up the idea of opening a restaurant in Abkhazia, but it is impossible to build a McDonald's on the territory of Georgia without his approval. Later, McDonald's removed the statement that they want to have McDonald's in Abkhazia from their webpage. This is not the first case of recognition of Abkhazia by McDonald's. 3 years ago, photos were distributed over the internet where it was seen One of the chain restaurants in Kiev showed several commercials about different countries, including the country of Abkhazia. After the thing erupted in Georgia, McDonald's Ukrainian representative said that the company placed the clips was guilty of what had happened, and McDonald's did not have any relation to it. Government is preparing to start a Facebook page that will offer information about its activities in the Abkhazian language. The official website of the government is already translated into Abkhazian. On the 10th of January, people demonstrated in front of Tbilisi City Hall against a private company, Tiflis Development, which plans to build a new hotel inside Vakhe Park. They claim this is illegal because it is a recreational zone. Tbilisi City Hall claims the construction is legal and that the location of the new hotel is private property and not part of the park. Acting Mayor Sevdiye Ugrekhelidze said that Tbilisi needs development, more hotels and beds. Minister of Environment Khaturo Gogoladze said the same day that she is against the construction. Yeah, this is a little frustrating. I mean, a lot of the parts of the park under Shevardnadze and under Misha were illegally privatized, usually handed out to some friendly goon. And now they're saying, oh, well, you know, it's private property. But that's not so much the case. It's good to look in the documents, and if somebody got them illegally, to deal with that fact. BPN, that's Bravo Poindexter November, reports that, .ge, reports that Oleg Ossinovsky, the richest man in Estonia, will invest $200 million in Georgia. According to him, Georgia is the best place to invest in hydropower because there are 26,000 rivers in the country. Ossinovsky noted that his company will build four hydropower stations, which will generate 100 megawatts of electricity annually. However, the Georgian government knows nothing about these investment plans. The energy ministry explains to Kommersant that there are no governmental negotiations and the ministry is not aware of Ossinovsky's plans. The National Bank of Georgia plans to tighten its monetary policy due to the lari's falling exchange rate in case it sets off inflation. After falling in value for several months, now 1.75 lari is equal to one U.S. dollar. Georgi Katagidze, president of the National Bank of Georgia, said that the bank's monetary policy was modified due to deflation for the last 2 years. Katagidze said that those most affected by the shift will be those people who have loans in U.S. dollars and their income in lari. According to the finance minister, Nodar Khaduri, from the beginning of 2013 to the third quarter, about 30,000 new jobs were created. He said that despite the reduction of the rate of economic growth in 2013, unemployment is falling. Co-investment fund supervisor Georgi Bachiashvili was listed in Forbes magazine's annual 30 Under 30, the list of the brightest stars in 15 different fields under the age of 30. Forbes writes that he is 28 and runs a $6 billion private equity fund in Georgia that amounts to about 40% of the country's GDP. Backed by BI, who invested the initial $1 billion, creating some controversy around its investments in the Georgian economy, UAE's Abu Dhabi Group and China's Milestone International are among the other big investors, says Forbes. Ilya II launched an initiative to solve unemployment with a group that will teach people how to build businesses. The head of the Patriarchate's charity fund, Lasha Zhvanya, explained that, quote, today there are two types of problems. There are people who are looking for work for many years and can never find it, and there are those who are over 50 years old and do not know modern technology, do not know English, do not own a computer, and do not even know where they can find information about jobs. Several years ago, Tbilisi City Hall arranged a very useful project providing training for these sorts of people, but unfortunately it was suspended. The Patriarchate needs support from the government and businesses. Otherwise, the church alone cannot succeed in this area. End quote. For those interested who know some janitor who works in Lubyanka or something, Ilya II's dossier in the Russian Federal Archives is under file 6991, description 7. Ilya Shiolashvili. But he has to approve the formal release of the file. So if you nab it and scan it, please email them to us. Muslims in Georgia will from now on have two muftis instead of one. This was decided at a session of the Administration of Muslims of All Georgia. Jemal Paksadze, who used to be the mufti of All Georgia, from now on will be the mufti of Western Georgia. And Yassin Aliyev will be the mufti of Eastern Georgia. On the 10th of January, former Prime Minister Zurabishvili's mother and daughter presented the Zurabishvili Foundation, which will support democratic processes as well as cultural and educational activities. From the 1st of July, hepatitis C-infected patients will get medicine for 60% below cost. From the 1st of March, the penitentiary system will supply medicine to prisoners for free. The Minister of Healthcare explains that Georgia will be the first in the region and second in the world after Egypt with fixed prices for hepatitis C treatment. 8 new HIV/AIDS cases were registered in Georgia this year. 5 men and 3 women are among the infected. There are 4,100 registered cases of AIDS, 3,000 men, 1,100 women. From the 4th of February, Air Zana will offer flights to Sochi twice a week. The price of a one-way ticket will start at $120. A Georgian couple living in the U.S. were named Washingtonians of the Year for outstanding service to their community. Synthetic theater co-founders Pata and Irina Tsikurishvili were recognized with this honor by Washingtonian magazine Broadway World. They moved to the U.S. in the 90s to pursue career in theater. Their creative vision resulted in the inception of Synthetic Theater, which has operated successfully for the past 12 years. Tbilisi Opera and Ballet Theater director Gio Giordania resigned. Members of the crew greeted the news with applause. They have demanded Giordania's resignation for several days as they believe Giordania led the theater into bankruptcy. From the 4th of January, a classical music station, Radio Musa, stopped airing because of financial problems. The manager of the radio said that they haven't had a sponsor for more than a year. Earlier, the radio station tried to solve its financial problems together with the culture ministry, but failed to come to an agreement. As a reminder, the former First Lady, Sandra Rolfs, founded the radio in 2007. For years, the radio is funded by BI's charity fund, but in 2012, Kartu stopped financing it, and it's had financial problems since. This is too bad. This was a good radio station, and some of the stuff the ministry funds is a little silly, particularly the patriarch cheerleading. Will Dunbar published an article about Georgian cuisine on ForbesGeorgia.ge, where he critically assessed Georgian food. It was in Georgian, widely read. He writes that there are few restaurants in Georgia where you can eat delicious food. You are mostly served with the same cucumber and tomato salad, khachapuri and khingali, that you can get anywhere. Georgians think that their national dishes are the best in the world. But according to Dunbar, Georgians' dishes are very simple and lack innovation. He thinks that it's better for Georgian restaurants to change their menus, otherwise people get bored and just go to Wendy's. Many Georgians have taken great offense to this piece and have posted critical replies saying the English don't even have a national cuisine, or that Dunbar is wrong. Poor Will Dunbar, former Spielpod.com mascot. Well, okay, the criticisms are wrong, because the English do have a national cuisine. It's just revolting. I disagree about Georgian food, but it is true that there's not a heck of a lot of innovation going on. The innovation that they did have was at the restaurant on Freedom Square at the bottom of Europe House, but then that closed and has now become, I don't know, some fromagatorium. A zebra foal was born in the Tbilisi Zoo. Both the newborn and mother are in good health. Visitors are able to see them at any time during the day. Foals of this particular zebra have no distinctive lines at birth. Parliamentary news. The parliament is discussing a loophole to move the parliament back to Tbilisi. Georgian Dream MP Zurat Khemeladze proposed bypassing a constitutional amendment and simply giving legal ownership of the former parliament building located on Rustaveli Avenue to the city of Kutaisi. Doing so would get around the need for a constitutional amendment, which would require 3/4 of the MPs to approve it. His full comments will be posted on the forum. And why not, considering that Tbilisi owned Gudauri at some point? As reported last week, the parliamentary website was hacked twice. IT specialists are still trying to figure it out. Parliament should have a completely new website in 10 days, which will have more security features. The meme this week is a group calling themselves the Radical Partisan Guerrilla Girls. They posted a satiric video on Facebook about the Patriarch's epistle. The video tells women to enjoy your time between the Christmas epistles and shows images of a woman cleaning and cooking with a veil over her hair, her face completely covered, and a big cross in her cleavage. The video protests women's patriarch-approved role in the family and was very widely shared. It's an extremely interesting development. Watch it. We will keep our eyes open for these types of things because most backwards-looking social views have now become closely allied with the church, and the church is sadly against almost all progressive activity in Georgia and views and everything else. How Georgians, most importantly young Georgians, look at the church is the location of Georgia's most important societal discussion. And as we know, all important societal discussions now take place via short music videos like this one. Stuff to read, an article by the chairman of Parliament, Dato Usupashvili, entitled Georgia's Dream Europeanization as Democratic Consolidation. According to Usupashvili, for years the Georgian Parliament was an uneventful political battlefield. The courts and prisons were where the real political contest took place. However, 2013 changed this. The author talks about the two concerns of Europeanization in the country. First, that being in Europe is not an anti-Russian statement. And second, across the 28 capitals of EU member states, the eastern neighborhood does not occupy the same significance. At the end, he highlights that the parliament, rather than the constitutional court or prosecutor's office, must become the epicenter of Europeanization as consolidation process. It is a really great piece, and anybody who wants to understand Georgia should read it. An article by TI Georgia about the candidates for a vacant leadership position in the Georgia National Communications Commission. This time, the president's administration published not only the names of the shortlisted candidates, but also their CVs and the documentation submitted by the 23 candidates who applied for the position. The government and the president recently agreed on three candidates for the position, and TI Georgia examined their public records to determine if past private sector activity might result in conflicts of interest. The three shortlisted candidates are Kacha Bekaudi, Tamas Inashvili, and Sergo Shavgulidze. TI Georgia did not find any apparent risk for conflicts of interest of candidates who were appointed to the GNCC leadership. None had made party donations in their company, and their companies have not won any major government tenders. A really brilliant article by Gavin Slade on opendemocracy.net about migration in Georgia. He says Europe's politics of migration control are exported to Georgia with potentially dangerous results. Georgia is being told by the EU that to get facilitated visa arrangements, Georgia will need to have very strict visa laws, setting up a Georgian buffer zone for the EU. This would be a bad thing for Georgia because although under the previous regime things were much too casual, they could be kept open, although more systematized, where the EU is pushing for more strict and, more very importantly, much greater internment. This is very important, and read and understand this argument. An article on Georgia Today about a book by Zura Karamidze titled Dagny or a Love Feast. Dalki Archive Press, a nonprofit organization, published the book. Dagny Juel Pribiskevska, a main character in the novel, was a Norwegian poetess and dramatist who was killed in a hotel room in Tbilisi in 1901. She was an inspiration to celebrities like Edvard Munch and was the queen of Berlin Bohemia in the 1890s. Some of the characters of the novel are historical, such as Joseph Stalin and his terrorist friend Kamo. Other characters of the story are Georgian poet Vajab Shavela and Georgian artist Niko Pirosmani. All of these things to read will be posted on the forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 22, which is the rank of Georgia in the Index of Economic Freedom 2014, according to the Heritage Foundation, a complete collection of knuckleheads, but they keep cranking this thing out. And, you know, why not? Georgia got 22, so we may as well quote it. The index tracks levels of economic freedom around the world. It covers 10 measures of economic openness, regulatory efficiency, the rule of law, competitiveness in 178 countries. Last year, Georgia ranked 21. 2014, Georgia has improved its position in terms of freedom from corruption, government spending, monetary freedom, investment freedom, and labor freedom. However, the situation in the country has deteriorated in terms of property rights, fiscal freedom, business freedom, and freedom of trade. This year, Hong Kong leads the index of economic freedom, while North Korea is at the bottom of the ranking. Armenia and Azerbaijan are among the moderately free countries, take 41 and 81st positions respectively. Russia is among the mostly unfree countries and ranks 140th. Turkey is in the 64th position. On this week's English language movie at the Roosevelt Movie Theater across from Parliament, it's Saturday, the 18th of January, The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug at 4:30. 20th of January, 8 p.m., within the framework of the Cine Doc Tbilisi Amidani Cinema Hall. 3, there's a screening of a documentary filmed Linar about a Russian boy who travels to Italy to get a new heart. After the screening, there'll be a discussion with invited moderators. It is free. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email address is tbilpod@gmail.com or post in the forum on our website at www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with Dion's 1963 cover of the hit, Drip Drop. I'm hip, hip, hip. Why don't you mind your own business? Shut your lip, lip, lip. I know when my girl give me the slip, slip, slip. I said the roof is leaking, rain's falling on my head. Oh yeah. I cry so hard, teardrops on my bed. Oh Lord, that's what I said. Give me a tip, tip, tip. I said, now listen here, friend, I tell you I'm here.